Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 48 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Today is Friday, September 30th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. A federal agency wants the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council to provide more input before implementing a controversial catch-sharing plan for halibut in Southeast Alaska and the Central Gulf. An extended public comment period on the proposed plan ended September 21st and brought in thousands of comments to the National Marine Fisheries Service. The catch-sharing plan would adjust the allocation of halibut between the charter and commercial fishing fleets and impose catch restrictions on charter fishing boats in the two areas based on abundance of the flatfish. Agency spokesperson Julie Spiegel says NIMFS announced the need for additional input at this week's meeting of the North Pacific Council in Unalaska.
Our Director of Sustainable Fisheries, Glenn Merrill, announced that a preliminary review of the thousands of public comments that we received on the halibut catch-sharing plan, many of those comments raised a number of policy and technical issues. And so NOAA Fisheries believes that those issues may require additional input from the council.
The agency published its proposed rule for the catch-sharing plan back in July and planned on publishing a final rule this December after a review of the comments and in time for the plan to take effect in 2012. The International Pacific Halibut Commission, which sets the catch level coast-wide, meets in January. Spiegel says it's unclear if additional review by the council will change the timeline.
Well, we would want those issues to be addressed before we could proceed to a final rule. It's unclear at this point what that will do to the timeline for implementing a catch-sharing plan, but we have asked the council to take a look at some of those issues.
Specifically, some of the issues raised include management of the fisheries when halibut abundance is low, economic impacts of the proposed plan, and technical concerns about a provision to allow transfer of commercial individual fishing quota shares to the charter fleet. The agency is asking the council to address the issues at a special meeting or at its next scheduled meeting in December. The Sitka Assembly has proclaimed October to be Energy Awareness Month in Sitka. It's part of an effort to alert the public to what city officials are calling an energy crisis. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
Demand for electricity in Sitka is outpacing the city's ability to generate it from two hydro projects at Blue Lake and Green Lake. To compensate, the city can burn diesel fuel in massive building-sized generators, but doing so is costly. Sitka resident Joel Hansen testified on the Assembly's resolution to declare October Energy Awareness Month. He said he's applied for a weatherization grant to help make his home more energy efficient, and he encouraged others to do the same.
We hope to have about $8,000 worth of improvements done to our home in the next couple of months, and it's going to save us a boodle in the long run. So energy awareness, good. Weatherization, great.
Assemblymember Mim McConnell challenged residents to see how little electricity they could get away with using in the month of October.
Just 1 month. See what you can do. See what you can cut back on. And maybe you'll find that, oh, maybe that wasn't so hard. Maybe that wasn't so bad. Maybe I can even make it 2 months.
Ideas for saving energy include turning off the television when it's not actively being watched, hanging up clothes instead of machine drying them, and not doing laundry during peak hours.
Our peak times are typically from 6 o'clock in the morning to about 9 o'clock in the morning when everyone's up and getting ready for work. And then, of course, in the afternoon from like 4 to 7 when folks come home and do other evening chores prior to bedtime.
That's Utility Director Christopher Bruton. He says analysts are studying a new utility rate structure for Sitka. They'll visit the city next week to review models and will likely return later in October to brief the Assembly on how rates should change. A likely scenario is a rate structure that rewards people for conserving energy.
Most utilities are switching to what's called an inclining block rate structure, where as you use more, the cost per unit goes up. So your first initial block of power would be at a certain rate. Mm-hmm. The next block would be at a higher rate. and so forth and so on.
The ultimate objective, Bruton says, is to avoid putting all four hydro generators online at the same time. He says keeping it to three will help lake levels recover and save energy. Assemblymember Phyllis Hackett said the city has lost some business as a result of the energy crisis. She said she was telling some friends about a fish waste plant that was considering building an operation in Sitka.
We ended up losing them as a company because we didn't have enough power to offer them, and they would have had to bring in their own diesel generation. Well, this group that I was sitting around, there were two people in the group turned to me and said, "Is that really true? Is it really a problem?" And I was a little bit shocked by that because I think every meeting we sit up here and something comes up about energy and we say it is really a problem. It's the biggest problem we're facing right now, and it is really the responsibility of every resident to help us with this because it affects every single one of us individually.
Hackett and other assembly members hope that by calling October Energy Awareness Month, fewer people will be asking if there's a problem and more people will be acting on it. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
As Congress looks to cut spending, funding is going up for one program that serves Alaska. Funding for the Essential Air Service program got a $13 million boost over its 2011 levels. In Alaska, the program spends millions to make sure airlines send their planes to more than 40 airports in places like Adak, Angoon, Healy Lake, and Petersburg. Scott Harris is president and CEO of Harris Air, a Sitka-based carrier that gets $60,000 a year from the EAS program. The money subsidizes two flights a week to Port Alexander, a community of about 50 people on the southern end of Baranoff Island.
For the summer, we're typically pretty full on those round trips, probably two or three down and two or three back, that kind of thing. In the winter months, oftentimes due to weather, we can't get there twice a week, or for whatever reason, there's less traffic.
Harris says his company would probably still go to Port Alexander without the funding, but it would be significantly more expensive. The funding is critical, he said, for other destinations that are farther away from full-service airports.
I'm unsure who would go to some of these destinations, particularly in the winter months when it's not much traffic, if it weren't for EAS. So it may leave places like Cordova or any other small community. Port Alexander might be left high and dry in the winter months.
Harris Air's level of funding, $60,000, places it in the middle of the pack among in-state carriers. In 2010, Juneau-based Alaska Seaplane received more than $350,000 to make runs to Angoon, Elfin Cove, Pelican, and Tenneke. In many of those locations, Essential Air Service flights also carry U.S. mail. Alaska Airlines, the state's largest commercial carrier, receives millions to fly its Boeing 737s to communities like Adak, Cordova, Petersburg, and Yakutat. Haida Energy is starting to build Prince of Wales Island's next hydropower plant, but it still needs more funding. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The Reynolds Creek Hydro Project has long been a dream of the Haida Village Native Corporation, based in Haidaberg. Project manager Corey Hildenbrand says that dream is close to becoming reality.
We are on the ground. Actually, direct construction is moving in with their barge. We awarded early in September. We've got about 9 or 11 weeks of work, and we're hopefully the weather will cooperate and we get this first phase of work done.
Reynolds Creek is about 10 miles from Haidaberg, which is about 25 miles southeast of Craig. It's being developed by Haida Energy, a joint venture of the Haida Corporation and APT, the Alaska Power and Telephone Company. Its powerhouse and small dam will feed electricity into Prince of Wales Island's grid, eliminating the use of high-cost diesel generators. Hildenbrand, speaking at the Rural Alaska Energy Conference in Juneau, says there's a long list of projects for this fall.
Repairing the roads, building the road into the powerhouse site, building the road into the dam site so we can do our geotech investigations, confirm what we have for foundation conditions. We have AP&T has also started construction of the transmission line from Heidelberg out towards Deer Bay. The turbine generator is very close to being on order, and then we'll be moving into final design based on our geotech work this fall.
The project's power is expected to cost 11 or 12 cents a kilowatt hour. Its overall cost is estimated at $28 million, paid for by a mix of grants, loans, and backing from its developers. Alvin Edenshaw of the Haida Corporation says that's more than they have.
Along the way, since the 2000 and 2006, the cost has gone up, so We've gone back to the state, and we are in the process right now with the Alaska Energy Authority and ADA to develop another $9 million loan to bring our project online.
Developers hope to have the hydro project complete and producing electricity in 2014. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
Ted Wright will serve as interim general manager of the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. At a meeting Wednesday night, the tribal council accepted the resignation of general manager Lisa Gassman, who served as GM for 11 years. Gassman said she resigned to explore new opportunities. Her last day with regular office hours was September 23rd. Wright is Eagle Kagwantan and served as GM of the Sitka Tribe from 1992 until 1995. He's a 1974 graduate of Sitka High School and an enrolled citizen of the Sitka Tribe. He'd been living in Seattle prior to his return to Sitka. Wright will serve on an interim basis, but says he plans to apply for the job permanently. Alaska officials say bags of chopped romaine lettuce are being recalled over concerns of potential listeria contamination. The State Department of Environmental Conservation has confirmed that the 2-pound bags of chopped romaine lettuce from True Leaf Farms, which have a use-by date of September 29th, were distributed in Alaska by Church Brothers, LLC. There have been no reported illnesses, but listeria can be fatal and is particularly dangerous to people with weakened immune systems, including infants, the elderly, and people with HIV or those who are undergoing chemotherapy. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for rain showers diminishing with isolated thunderstorms this afternoon, highs around 50, southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, showers likely in the evening, then a chance of rain late, lows around 43, and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered rain showers, highs around 52, with southeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. This is Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.